what I think is really pivotal about the voice assistant is its role in proliferating not only itself, so not only digital voice assistants, but acting as a gateway technology for voice-enabled devices and robots of many different forms and feminizing them. So, you know, we're seeing now the voice of Alexa and Google Home embedded in products that extend beyond their own range, their own cylinders, and, you know, empowering or being used to power a variety of other appliances and robots in the home as well. But also the technology that has enabled voice assistance is being now embedded into other forms of assistance or other forms of robots, like the sex robots that we explore in the book. There's actually a lot of similarities in the voice software and the voice activation that's now being included in these other types of feminized devices as well. So they seem to be this kind of linchpin in bringing about a mass feminization of so many different types of AI and robotics, not just, you know, contained within their specific kind of niche markets where they started.
Could I ask sort of a follow-up on this idea of feminization in this context? You know, is the feminization the labor or the vocal character of the device? Like, you know, obviously there's been pushes towards gender-neutral voice assistants or just having the ability to choose a voice of your own. But is that what's really, I mean, how much of a part of the story is the voice of the voice assistant in terms of feminization?
It's just the voice, the feminized voice is just one aspect or layer of the feminization of these kinds of voice assistants. The other significant aspect that has been feminized is the types of care and the types of work these devices are put towards doing, because they are often performing forms of care and roles that are linked to, idealized as feminized in society, but also typically undervalued as well.
And then the other aspect to it as well is their feminized personalities. As Jenny's saying, you know, it cuts across so many layers. It's definitely goes far beyond the voice. And actually that's something we address extensively in the book, is while we're sympathetic to making these devices gender neutral and to, you know, removing, you know, or changing the voice or switching the gender of the voice, we don't think that completely solves the problem because of the roles these devices are intended to perform, and also because of the feminized personalities that they have. We don't see a diversity of feminine attributes or feminine personalities on display. We see a very uniform type of femininity being put on show here. And that's another thing that concerns us, because it's the kind of femininity that is compliant, that is friendly, that is likable, that is, you know, ready to serve and please. And of course, there's many other types of femininity, and many would argue, as we do, that that's actually quite an outdated idea of what, you know, women, how women should be uniformly behaving in society in today's age. So there are many problems with the devices that extend beyond the voice.
I don't know if it's too much of a digression, but in the way that you were describing this history of the wife leading into the smart wife, and it reminded me of this kind of, you know, informal, longstanding kind of balance of power or agreement between corporations and the state, where, you know, in order to reproduce labor power, the wife and the home become the kind of factory for reproducing workers. And you kind of hinted at that with the acknowledgement that, you know, women have not been remunerated for that work that they've historically done, particularly in that period from the 50s onwards. And in the smart wife, in these devices sort of taking on some of these caregiving little aspects of caregiving, I guess that shifts the relationship. But one thing it does is it turns this uncompensated work into a service that we pay for. And I guess that what I'm wondering is, what happens to, we still need that same work to happen, right? People still, there's still care that's given that actually helps in, like, allowing us to live and have an emotional life and all of these kinds of things. And I don't think these devices are actually providing, even if they're stepping into that role. And so what's happening to that, like, relationship between, I don't know, like, what's the division of labor or something that's happening in the household now between these devices, these smart wives, and the actual reproduction of labor power that happens in the home?
I think you're raising a really important point, which is how these devices are part of larger capitalist structures that we bring into our homes. And there are also already divisions of labor within the home that are problematic. And bringing these devices in as a presumed solution to the conflicts around division of labor in the home, they're not being able to live up to that ideal. And mostly it's because they're attempting to displace that labor rather than equalize it amongst the members of the household. And what often at the moment happens is, Annabel Crabb, the book Ilandi mentioned earlier, as Annabel Crabb talks about, is that most of that care labor falls to women in the house when they're in a heterosexual household. So by bringing devices in, it's not necessarily meaning that for the man and woman in the home that they now perform an equal amount of labor. What often happens is, and this is what came out of the research that Andy and I were doing that brought us together, was that often when devices come into the home, one person in the household takes on the kind of curating, managing, overseeing role, becomes the tech expert if they're not already. And they are the ones who set up the devices, who maintain the devices. And often, especially when you have a complex household, the operation of this interoperable system takes a fair amount of work. So instead, what you end up having is, instead of the care labors that are necessary to be done in the home being divided amongst everybody, you now have an additional set of labors required in the home that is about the care of these devices. And it's still not addressing the gap in terms of the intimate care labors that are required.